The following program is sponsored by Ron Myers Ministries.
It's time now to get the hell out of your life. A weekly broadcast with real people, sharing real struggles and offering real hope. Today's show will encourage, inspire, and empower you to face life's challenges with a bold confidence and renewed hope. Now, let's join our host, Ron Myers, the promoter.
Hello, my friends. It is so good to be with you. My name is Ron Myers. I'm your host, and this show is all about getting the hell out of your life, living the life that you have dreamt about, that you think is probably impossible. But I think after you hear today's story, you will change your mind. Have you ever wondered, is there someone out there that hears me? Is there a man upstairs? Is there a God that really cares about me? That's today's story. You're going to hear from John Boy. John Boy never knew anything about a God. In fact, he was on a porch one night and he looked up in the sky and said, "Hey, dude, if you're real, I need to see what you can do with my life." His life changed. So you're going to hear this story with John Boy. And I want you to know, I don't care where you're at, what you've gone through, what is in your mind, there is someone out there for you to help you become the person you were created to be. So sit back and for the next few minutes, listen to a story that will inspire, encourage, and empower you. John Boy, so glad to have you on the phone. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. So, John Boy, what is your story?
Oh, okay. About 7 years ago, I had just come out of active addiction with methamphetamine use and all kind of other drug use. You know, just anything that, you know, tickled my fancy, that's where I went. And I tried to get to a probation appointment, man. And I missed it. And I had a friend that worked in the law enforcement there and was trying to go weasel it over and make it like it was okay. And I went to my friend's house and took one look at me and realized he needs to go to rehab. And so it took him about a day to get me talked into it. You know, I didn't want to quit. I didn't think about quitting. And there I was the next day on my way to rehab, but I didn't know it was a discipleship program. They were calling it a rehab and this, and it wasn't a rehab at all. It was a discipleship program. You can see where I was filled with sin, sexual immorality, things like that, you know what I mean? And I was tossed into a charismatic movement with a bunch of people who were just like me, but had found the Lord and had joy and things like that, you know? So at first I thought, you know, well, these guys are high, you know what I mean? And they're hiding it from me. Something's going on, you know? And I'm like, 'cause I was real quiet. I had been to prison. And so I just stayed to myself for the first couple of weeks. But I kept noticing, you know, this joy that these people didn't have no reason to have. I mean, there were some of them were facing 25 years in prison, 10 years, 8 years. All of them were felons. And I was too. But I started to notice these people wanted to pray for me and love that I had never seen come from people like me. You know what I mean? So I started to notice this real joy and, I really evaluated it, you know, count the cost is how we say nowadays, speaking Christianese, and count the cost of discipleship. But I didn't know what I was doing that, but I was. I remember my first prayer. I got so tired of seeing this joy and I could not grasp it, you know, going to classes every morning. I couldn't get the Bible. I'd never read it. I didn't know what a Pharisee was and all these things, these contradictions that flew to the front of my head. I could not understand it, you know? But the only way that I knew everybody keeps driving into my head, you know, you got to pray, you got to talk to the Lord. And well, I'd never talked to the Lord. I remember like it was yesterday. I was laying in the bed. I couldn't sleep in these little cubicles that they give me. So I slept on the porch because it was summertime. And I remember looking up at, and I just started talking to him. I called him dude the first time.
You called him dude?
Yeah. I said, I'm like, look, dude, I said, I see this joy. I see this love. I see this joy that it's something I've never seen. I've had what I thought was joy. You know what I mean? Through whatever kind of worldly things that I thought was joy, but not real joy. And I'd seen this because it was different than the joy that I had had before. And I start squalling, you know what I mean? And I wasn't a crier at the time. And I said, you got to show me something. I said, because I don't know. And I don't remember the exact words of the prayer. I think I had my hand folded and things like that, you know what I mean? Because that's what I'd seen. That's what I knew. I just called him dude. I didn't know what to call him, man. And within a couple days, man, I started seeing changes. And, you know, I didn't want to change. Then all of a sudden, there was a deep down desire to start to change. And within about a first week or so, these things that they were sowing into me as far as classes to go and discipleship courses like this, everything started to make sense. And the Lord had opened up the word to me in a way that I'd never thought possible. I'd heard people reading the Bible in prison and things like that. I never could make no sense out of it. But all of a sudden, this complete word had been transformed in front of me, and now I could understand it. And I mean, I never turned back.
Wow.
It was like I never had a father. So for me to find out that he was there, that's all I needed to know, that he was there.
So you never grew up with a father?
No, no, sir. I had my mother and my grandmother, and that was about it.
So this dude that you talked to was your heavenly father, and he wanted to come into your life and give you some joy. Is that what happened?
Yeah, man, he did. And yeah, it was amazing. I never turned around. I never looked back, man. I mean, I chewed on it. Everything they that come in my direction, man, I wrote it down. I chewed on it. I mean, I think I read the New Testament in the first month, and I just turned around and start reading it again and start reading it again. And that's how I done it, man.
Wow.
It come alive to me to the point to where I didn't do nothing. When I got off work during the day, I would come there, eat, and get in my bed and crack open the word. And that's, everybody knew that's where I would be.
Wow.
They'd come in there looking for me, man. And I was in the word and I was in my bed.
Now, were you starting to get some of that joy that you saw all the other people have? Was joy beginning to emerge in your life?
Yeah, man. It was amazing.
Wow.
About a week and a half after that, this first prayer, they give me a job in the front of this thrift store, and they want me to do the cashier. So I didn't know, you know, the cashier thing was easy and whatnot, you know. So I started to be salt and light. You know what I mean? I was still trying to learn and how to be a Christian. So I started to show just love. Everybody that come into the thrift store, man, I started to show love. And that's how I did it, man. And before long, it's 3 or 4 months, man, if people come there to see me, they come alive in me in such a way that I didn't know what was happening, really. I knew that I was changing. Seek first the kingdom of God, and everything will fall into place, you know?
You know, John Boy, you said in the beginning when you sent me this letter that you were every kind of evil thing that you could think of, but now all of a sudden you're in a thrift store showing people love. There had to be times when you'd be in your room or somewhere and just scratch your head and think to yourself, what in the world is happening to me? How is this even possible that I can love somebody when yet I've done so many evil things in my life?
It was amazing. I took what he said as the truth because I'd never seen things that were this truthful in my life. I always had to read out what was truth and what was fake. But now with Jesus, everything was truth. So I really realized that he could not lie.
Amen.
He has the best interest at heart for me. And I bought into it completely. I loved it. And
That's awesome. It was amazing. That's awesome. You know, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. So you came to your heavenly Father through Jesus. And we also have heard that the truth will set us free. So the truth of God's word got into your heart and started setting you free, unlocking the bondage of all those things that have been in your life. So was the desire to do drugs or drink or carouse or chase women, was all that disappearing in your life?
It didn't stick around for long. Every now and then when I would lay down, I'd think about, you know, where I would be if I was out on the street or doing this or that. I guess sexual immorality stayed with me longer than anything, you know, and I still does, you know what I mean? I think we're always going to be sinners. We keep learning until this thing's over. One day on the fifth month or so, I'm standing up front, meditating, reading my Bible, and I started thinking about, I hadn't thought about meth or drugs in like 2 or 3 months, man. And I'm sitting up there, you know, just praising, like, where did it leave? I kept trying to understand this because I'd been to AA and things like this. Every day you got to do your devotion and you got to do this, your 12 steps and this and this. But what I realized is that 12 steps and things like that are something that I do, but this was a work of God that happened inside of me. And what I realized over time, thinking about it, methamphetamines and drug abuse had fell off of me, but I didn't know when it happened. Wow. And I realized that the reason that I think the Lord does that so that we can't take credit for it ourselves.
Well, friends, it's time for a break. And when we return, the conclusion of John Boy's story.
You're listening to Get the Hell Out of Your Life with your host, Ron Myers. Real stories, real struggles, and real hope.
What's your story? We're looking for stories of hope and overcoming life's struggles with God's grace. Your story validates God's love, mercy, restoration, and forgiveness. We want to help you share your story with the world. Visit our website, thepromoter.org, and click on the Share Your Story link and submit your story. Your testimony of God's amazing grace will change a person's destiny for eternity.
Getting encouragement is important, and it helps us overcome our fears and gives us the courage to face life's challenges. To receive weekly messages of encouragement, all you need to do is text INSPIRE to 888-527-1223. That's 888-527-1223. Our messages are intended to inspire and empower you on your life journey. Remember, life is more enjoyable when you're inspired.
Welcome back, listeners. You're hearing John Boy's story. He was looking for someone out there. He referred to, hey, dude, I need some help. And, well, the dude helped him. The dude was Jesus. And now, John Boy, I want to ask you, was life beginning to start to make sense? Were good things beginning to happen in your life?
You're exactly right, man. It was. And for the next three and a half years. I lived the word, man. That's all I did. Within a year, I graduated the program and I was offered a leadership role just to work there and do this. And I was going to the court system and getting people out, you know, people that I had been in prison and jail with. And it was just completely awesome. Everything was different and so beautiful. And
what happened in the after 3.5 years? There's always a but. You know, Satan loves us. You know, we're going down that road of on our path and our destiny, but he always likes to throw a roadblock up in the middle of our road to get us off our path of destiny. And didn't that happen to you?
Yes, sir. It sure did. When I had graduated the program, I had found a girl, and not long after that, I don't think I really heard the Lord. It's not good for a man to be alone, and I got married about 6 months after I left the graduated the program, moved in together, and started to live our life. And I went through about 2 years, man, just still sewing into it and doing things like this, and then all of a sudden, man, it was about 2.5 years ago. A friend of mine come up to the thrift store. Actually, it was my cousin, and said, "Hey, man, I got you a doobie rolled up." You know what I mean? I didn't think about it. You know what I mean? Didn't think nothing about it. I said, "No, I'm good, dude." And I went into my office, and then I was leaving, and my cousin was still there, and it was like I just rolled down the window and said, "Man, throw me that, man. I'm going to put it in my ash tray for later." Wow. Whatever I was thinking, I have no idea. I don't know why I didn't.
They always say, John Boy, they always say that if you let that door open a crack, that the devil will push that down door down and come in like a mighty wave. Is that what happened?
Exactly. And it did. Not at first. You know, I did. That afternoon, you know, nobody was at the house and all this, and I didn't do it for another 2 or 3 months. I'm not going to make no excuses of it. You know what I mean? Over time, it became a problem for me.
So you were hiding it in front of everybody, but it was getting to be a problem. So,
oh, man, it's horrible. And still preaching the word.
So
horrible.
You're preaching the word, smoking dope.
Absolutely horrible.
And did you have guilt inside you? Were you starting to feel guilty?
Yeah, it was horrible, man. It was horrible. So, and I got to the point to where I was the only one that could do my job, and I couldn't double back on everything that I tried to accomplish. Every now and then I quit.
So, John Boy, what was it that took you down?
A drug test at work.
Uh-oh.
Well, when you're in active addiction, you can't tell that anybody notices because you are, oh, well, I can hide it. I'm doing this, and nobody can see.
So but they decide to do a drug test on you, and it comes back positive. So,
yeah, for marijuana, and lost my job.
So they tell you to hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back no more.
Yes,
you're gone.
Yes, sir.
So after that, you probably don't have much left to live for except for that little doobie and some methamphetamines, huh?
Yeah, I wasn't doing methamphetamines. I was doing these things that you can get at the gas station, and to the point to where I had to come go to detox. I had me a job and doing things like this, and going into detox, man. The Lord had finally won out. You know, I'd been praying, and so eventually I said, "I'm going to surrender and I'm going to go to detox." I went to a what I thought was a medical detox, but it wasn't. And I was on the third day screaming in pain, laying in the bed, and I got kicked out for being too loud. Anybody who's ever went through detox off opioids or something like that, it's horrible. And
so you get kicked out of detox, and then what happened?
I thought, well, I'll go to a friend of mine's house. I knew that I could do a little meth to get over my withdrawals from back in the day. And I've seen people do that for years, you know, mean coming off opioids or something, they would do a little bit of meth to get them through their detox. Well, that's exactly what I did. I left Gaston and come here to Anniston and went to a friend of mine's house and woke up 3 days later in Birmingham, paralyzed on my right side, and where I had a massive brain bleed from hypertension.
Wow.
From doing that one hit of meth.
So you had a brain bleed and now you're paralyzed. Please tell me that that got your attention.
Yeah, man. He had already had my attention. The only reason I went to detox was because I had to get free the way I was before. And then because everything was horrible compared to what it was when I was walking with Jesus.
So now you're paralyzed. You're not even walking. Or were you able to walk with you being paralyzed?
No, completely paralyzed. I was like Two-Face.
Wow.
All the way down my sternum. I mean, some of my body is still numb on my right side. I woke up, didn't know where I was, what had happened or whatever. And it, after about an hour, it comes back to me. Sitting there for 12, 18 days and trapped in my own body. I couldn't talk. I couldn't convey any kind of messages because it was a word salad or mumble. The only thing that I could say was, I know, I know. I never did cry when I found out I was paralyzed. And on a stroke floor, that's all you ever hear is somebody is always crying, no matter what. But I woke up completely knowing that I had been saved through the grace of God. It wasn't anything that I had done. And not only that.
And the neurologist told you you would probably never walk again, didn't he?
Yeah, they sat at the end of my bed and talked about me like
it was over.
They were talking about me at the end of my bed, looking at me, and I'm like, it was horrible, man, to be trapped inside your own body and not be able to tell them that I'm okay, I understand what you're talking about. But they said, no, there's no reason, no way that I'll ever walk again. He'll be paralyzed for the rest of his life on his right side. It was a nickel-sized brain bleed.
Wow.
There was no reason that I should be alive. There's no reason that I should ever have the capacity to speak again, anything.
But John Boy, we know with God, and we're running short on time, we know with God, he has the final say in the story. Today,
amen.
You are walking,
amen.
Aren't you?
Oh, yeah, man. Every day, man. My legs at about 75%. I'm back to the point to where I can almost run, but not run, but kind of jog. You know what I mean?
To someone out there right now that can't get off of drugs and they're hearing this story, they don't want to listen to it, but there's something is compelling them to listen to it. What would you tell that person?
I would tell them to just give in to Jesus. Just give it to him. It's hard for us to let go because it's the only thing that we can control.
Yeah, we want control, don't we?
Exactly. But if we'll let him have it, and we'll realize 4 or 5 days later, it don't take long,
amen,
that we realize the things that we were holding on to were killing us. Everything that he does is good. When you're in addiction, everything that you're doing is bad. Now, it'll take you a while to realize that, but when you do, he will turn it on for you, and you'll never look back.
So,
and you will never understand why in the world you have done drugs in the first place.
That is so true, John Boy. And so, John Boy, are you happy today?
Yeah, man. I'm happy every day, man.
Amen. So
I've been given a new lease on life, man, and it's simply by the grace of God.
So this dude that you prayed to for the very first time, you called him dude, but you realize he's a loving heavenly father that has,
amen,
your best interest in mind,
amen,
doesn't he?
Amen.
Well,
amen.
I like talking to you, John Boy, and I appreciate you sharing your story with the listeners. And John Boy, will you pray for the listeners today?
Father, I thank you so much for not just what you've given me, but for what you're doing in everybody else's life who's on the list, who's listening over the air right now. Just turn it on for them, Father. Turn them on the way that you turned me on, Father. Give them grace. Give them an abundance in their heart. Give them a love for the word. Give them what you gave me, Father. You know what they need. I don't, Father. Give them what you believe they need, Father.
Amen.
And Jesus, I thank you so much. Thank you for this glorious day. Amen.
Amen, brother.
Yeah, thank you so much, man. It was awesome, dude.
Yeah, John Boy, God bless you, brother. Well, listen, I love you. I'm praying for you, and you keep up the good work.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
All right, man. Take it easy.
You're listening to Get the Hell Out of Your Life with your host, Ron Myers. Real stories, real struggles, and real hope.
Jesus, what do you think of when you hear that name? Jesus, love, life, hope, joy, peace, friend, companion, comforter, savior.
The God of the universe lives.
And he lives in the form of a man. That man is Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him shall have eternal life. Jesus.
What will you do with him?
He knocks on the door of your heart. When you open that door, your life will change forever. He came that the world may have life and may have it more abundantly. Ask Jesus into your heart and discover what living is all about. Call 1-888-NEED-HIM.
Ron will be back in a moment to wrap up today's conversation. We want to encourage you today with God's promise to you. It comes from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That's God's promise to you when you choose to commit your plans and future to Him. Now, back to Ron.
Well, I know you're out there somewhere. You know, the person that is like John Boy, you're searching, you're tired of life, you're tired of doing the same thing over and over and never getting any good results. Today is the day to call upon the name of Jesus. I don't care if you say, hey, dude, the man upstairs, I need some help. Come into my life. It's an easy dialogue, an easy conversation. And then there will be people that will come into your life and to help you get onto the path to become the person God created you to be. I really encourage you, friends. I was a messed up, screwed up individual for many, many years. It was all about sex, drugs, and rock and roll for me. But I called upon the name of Jesus in a hotel room, and, well, my life's never been the same, and that's why I share these stories, because I believe in you. I know what God wants to do in your life. I'll be back next week with another great episode of Get the Hell Out of Your Life. In the meantime, remember this. I love you. God loves you. And it's time to get the hell out of your life.
Today's show was produced by Ron Myers Ministries, a listener-supported ministry. For a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website, thepromoter.org. And would you prayerfully consider making a tax-deductible donation so that we may continue to share stories of God's amazing grace with the world? And join us next week for another broadcast of Get the Hell Out of Your Life. Real people, sharing real struggles, and offering real hope.